All right, to the extraordinary scandal which has rapidly unfolded on the campus of Penn State University. First of all, the longtime assistant coach affiliated with the Penn State winning football program, Jerry Sandusky, is under arrest now and charged with being a sexual predator on a variety of counts. The question is, how long did university officials know about the behavior of this man and possibly even look the other way? That's the nature of the scandal. But it is hard to overstate the extent to which it has affected perhaps the most revered man in Penn State history, Joe Paterno, who for a half century has been affiliated with the Penn State football program and has eventually become the winningest coach in football history. This was the sound as Paterno addressed a crowd yesterday. There was a news conference scheduled, but the university management actually canceled the news conference. But this was Paterno responding to his fans outside his house last night.
I've lived for this place. I've lived for people like you guys and girls, the kids that were victims of whatever they want to say. I think we all ought to say a prayer for them because, you know, they were tough life when people do certain things to you. But anyway, you've been great.
As we've reported, the New York Times says that, and we'll talk with the New York Times reporter on this story in just a moment, says that Joe Paterno's days are numbered at Penn State. But outside his home last night, and listen to this, because this really tells the story, it sounded more like a Nittany Lions pep rally.
We love you, Joe.
We love you.
The sense of emotion in this college town. Connor Ennis, a college football editor for our partner, the New York Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
There's no way really to overstate the sense of emotion, the divisions that people must be feeling over Joe Paterno this morning.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you said, he's been there for more than half a century. There's nobody that embodies the image of the school more than Joe Paterno. You know, he's a football coach, obviously, but he and his wife, they live very close to campus in a relatively modest house. They're very connected to the community. So there's a lot of emotional attachment that the students feel with him. And because he's been such a public face, when people think of Penn State, they immediately think of Joe Paterno.
So the idea that he might have looked the other way, apparently he was told of Jerry Sandusky's behavior at a certain point, took it to management, but that's as far as it went. There are other members of the Penn State faculty and staff who may have even witnessed this individual behaving in a way that was possibly criminal, and they may have told others within the university community, but it never got to law enforcement. Is that the nature of the scandal here?
Yeah, I think, you know, the attorney general has said that in this case, Paterno is not a suspect, that they believe he did legally what he was required to do, which was to go to the athletic director when he heard these accusations about Sandusky back in 2002, and that the athletic director and also Gary Schultz, who's another top university official, that they were the ones who should have gone to authorities. But what strikes people, and I think where people sort of start to question, is Paterno, this man of integrity who stood for so much, he never seemed to do anything more. He never seemed to go to the authorities himself. Sandusky remained around the program, with children. And so what was Paterno thinking in those ensuing years? Didn't something sort of drive him to say, we need to stop this? And I think that's where you get that emotional struggle with for people who for so long have felt this rather personal connection to Paterno and this, you know, emotional attachment to him.
Although there's another emotion, too. And I was listening to sports radio, a variety of markets yesterday, just to get a sense of how people are responding to this. I mean, the vitriol, the sense of how could you be a mentor for young men and women in an athletic program and allow children to be preyed upon by someone you knew who had a problem and never took it beyond. I mean, the extent to which people are really turning quickly and that the entire image of Penn State is suddenly in the balance here is extraordinary to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you played those clips of sort of the people rallying in support outside his home, and that was certainly the case. Now, that's maybe a few hundred people, maybe 1,000 people. Penn State is a massive campus with an extended alumni association, and there is a lot of anger that you can sense coming from those parts of the Penn State community. The sense of people who are graduates and who are parents and who are wondering how can we say that we, you know, that we are Penn State, that we stand for all this integrity.
Well, what does this do? What does this do for recruiting? I mean, what does this do for recruiting in the football program and the athletic program broadly speaking? I mean, what does this do to the whole sort of educational environment?
Oh yeah, I think that that's yet to be determined. I mean, in terms of recruiting, it's in for just the football program. It's impossible to tell because Paterno, at least to the full extent, because Paterno will not be there next year. He's been there as the head coach for 46 years, so you're talking about a complete change in the program's identity. It's unsure who will replace him and to what extent the football team will look differently.
Again, Connor, you know, the legal issues here, while important, are the smallest part of this story. Does this engage a national debate on the autonomy of some of these athletic programs, which have so much extraordinary power and seem to be accountable to no one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's always a push and pull at universities, you know, especially with big-time college athletics. It's usually about things that are serious, but not in, you know, you're usually not talking about child abuse and sexual abuse and those sort of things. So it continues the debate that's gone on for a long time.
But certainly sharpens it. Before we go, Connor Ennis, college football editor for our partner, the New York Times, will Paterno be at the Nebraska game this weekend?
That's the question everybody's wondering right now.
Connor Ennis of the New York Times reporting the story of Joe Paterno, who may be serving his last season as head football coach for the Penn State Nittany Lions. Thanks, Connor.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.